Hey, it is so good to be with you all today, and again, it's so such a joy to be able to open God's Word with you this morning. Like Grant said, we'll be in Psalm 92, and as you're getting there, I kind of just want to give you a question I want you to think about, maybe share it with your neighbor, but what is one of the busiest seasons you've ever been in your life? What has been one of the busiest seasons in your life? Think about that for a moment. You can share with your neighbor if you want. If you have a parent, you might be looking at your kids saying, "You are my busiest season. You're the reason I have no time." So in January of 2020, I know we don't want to relive it that much, but just relive this with me for a moment. In January of 2020, when I think about one of the busiest seasons of my life, I think about this season in 2020. I was gearing up for one of the busiest seasons of my life. I was newly married, so I was trying to figure out how that all worked with another person who now had expectations for me. I was working a full-time job. I was working a part-time job as a student minister, and then I was also gearing up for one of the busiest speaking seasons I've had in my life. And so I do a lot of pro-life speaking and pro-life advocacy, and so I was gearing up for one of the busiest speaking seasons of my life. And I remember sitting down in January with my wife, and we were looking at our calendar, and I remember just looking at it and going, I've got like one free weekend for the next 7 months. We had all these things, whether it was speaking engagements, whether it was student ministry activities, or whether it was work activities. And I just remember looking at it and be like, man, this is going to be a really busy 6-7 months. But I was like, all right, let's do this. We can do it. We can handle it. I remember starting into it. I remember working our way through it. We're in February and we're full swing. I'm teaching different D-Nows, different activities, all these sorts of things, feeling the weight of it. And I'm like, man, and it's just getting busier from here. And then what happened? March 2020 hit. And a little pandemic hit called COVID-19, right? And I remember in the matter of weeks, I went from the busiest season of my life to literally nothing happening in my life. Everything got shut down. I lost my full-time job. All of my speaking engagements that I had lined up, they were all canceled because they were groups of people. Bethany was working at a doctor's office, so she was considered essential personnel. And so every day she was going into the office, and you know what I was doing? I was just sitting at home in our apartment. And I'll tell you, it went from the busiest season of my life to one of the slowest seasons of my life. And I'm sure many of you can relate to this with COVID. And don't get me wrong, it was a difficult season. And I do not wish to relive that whatsoever. But I remember during the season, I was in my Bible reading, and I came across the psalm that we're going to look at today. And it's Psalm 92. And the title of this psalm is a psalm for the Sabbath. And I'll tell you something. During this time, God did something in my heart with it. As I felt the angst of sitting with nothing to do, this helplessness of what's going to happen in the world, what am I going to do? I don't have a full-time job. Trying to figure out everything that was going to happen, I came across this psalm, and I found great comfort in this psalm. And I'm hoping today that you too might find great comfort in this psalm. Because for many of us in this room are very productive people. In our congregation, I know that's true. Many of you work way harder than even I work, right? Many of you work at levels above the average person. This is good, right? After all, we're called to be productive. We're called to create it. We're called to work, right? But here's the reality. We're also called to rest. And as I was preparing for today, Eric had originally planned for me to be continuing our First Timothy study, but then some things kind of got shifted, and so he kind of basically just said, hey, do what you want with it. And as I was preparing, I actually had a different one I was planning on preaching, but over the last number of weeks, I feel like there's just been just constantly, time and time again, just story and story of talking to our people who are overwhelmed currently. whether it is whether it's health issues that have arisen in the last few weeks, or whether it's work that is just through the roof. I'm talking to students right now as our student minister, and I know a lot of our students are overwhelmed, right? We've got these seniors we just celebrated, but a lot of them are overwhelmed because they're in the rush of, I've got to get it all done before graduation so I can make it to the next step. And what I hope to do today is I hope to encourage us to recognize that even in the midst of being overwhelmed by whatever it is, the things that press in that make us think we have to urgently keep pushing forward, we can actually stop and rest. So the book of Psalm, it's often called the hymn book of the Bible. And within this book of the Bible, we find 150 different songs and poems written and used for worship. In Psalm 92, it's unique in that this is the only psalm in the entire book of Psalms that is titled A Song for the Sabbath. You see, God, he created in 6 days, and on the seventh, he gave us rest. He gave us the Sabbath. The Sabbath, it was a day we find all throughout Scripture, even from the very beginning in Genesis when God creates. And the Sabbath was given as a day of rest and worship. We were given the Sabbath as a day to rest from our work, okay? But it's not just a day for us to take a day off and rest from our work, but it's a day for us to stop working and to instead choose to rest in the provision that God has given us. It's a day for us to stop working, but instead choose to trust God's provision for us. Because if we're honest, right, we all recognize this, right? I can accomplish more in 7 days than 6 days. I can have larger profit margins if I work 7 days of the week instead of 6 days of the week. Yet, we're still called to rest because God knows we need it, but also because God wants us to stop and remember that he's the one in control. He wants us to stop and trust in the provision he's given. And the psalm today is a psalm that's literally given for the purpose of our day of worship. It's a psalm literally given for us to read, think about, meditate, and worship with when we stop on our Sabbath to recognize God's provision in our life. And the Sabbath, it's an invitation. It's an invitation for us to stop and remind ourselves that God is ultimately in control. It's an invitation for us to stop and trust that God will take care of us. And this morning, as we look at this, the big idea, if I'd give you, it's this. It's we rest in God because our only hope is in God. We rest in God because our only hope is in God. And full disclosure, I find this very difficult at times. Because in busy seasons, I think if I can just power through, I can make it work. If I can just hustle a little more, I can get these things done, I can accomplish them, and life will be so much easier. And the invitation of the Sabbath is not to think I can make it work, but to trust God to make it work. This is important, the Sabbath. It's important to remind us that we are not as self-sufficient as we might like to think we are, or that we might like to live like we are. It's an offer for us to surrender to God, to surrender and say, God, I ultimately have no control, and I'm trusting you to be in control. And the comfort I think we'll find in Psalm 92 is this. In Psalm 92, David, he gives us 8 reasons why we can rest in God. He gives us 8 reasons why we can stop, why we can rest, and why we can rest in confidence. Not because of who we are, not because of the work we've done, but because of who our God is. And so this morning, I want us to see 8 reasons why we can rest and enjoy God. Let's start in Psalm 92, verse 1. It says this. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And here's the first reason we're going to see why we can rest and enjoy God. Because of God's unfailing love for us. He says this in verses 2 through 3. He says, to declare your steadfast love, your unmoving love, your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. He says, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. He says, it is good for us to stop and worship God. Why? Because of his unfailing love. He gives us this picture. He says, in the morning we have his steadfast love. He says, in the evening we have his faithfulness. We can look at this in two different perspectives. We can look at it from the very beginning of our days. We wake up each morning knowing that God's love is there for us, that he is unfailing, his loving kindness has been extended to us. And when we get to the end of our day, we have the whole entire day to look back on and see God's faithfulness to us. We can think of it more figuratively. In the light of the morning when life is good, when we are dancing in the sunlight, if you will, we can say, God, your loving kindness is so good to me. Your steadfast love is always there. And then in the darkest seasons when our life seems at night, pitch black and we can't see the way, we have his faithfulness to hold on to. He says the first reason that we can rest in God is because of his unfailing love that he has extended towards us. He says, and because of that, we can worship him with all we have. He says, with instruments, with our talents, with the flute and the lyre, basically with everything we have that we know how to worship with. He says, we can use that to worship God because of his unfailing love towards us. He says, the second reason that we can rest in and enjoy God is because our God is active. Because our God is active. Look in verses 4 through 5. He says, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. He says, at the work of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. We have a God who is active. And we ought to call to memory his work in our life. Our God, he does mighty works. He's not some sort of powerless or limited God. Our God, he tells us his thoughts are deep. There is nothing he doesn't know. There is nothing that catches him by surprise. Not only is he powerful, but it tells us he has a plan. And so we say, can I really stop? Can I really rest in God? You can. Why? Because of his unfailing love. You can because he is an active God. He's not limited. He's not powerless. He can do whatever he pleases. And listen, he has a plan that we can trust. Tells us number three, we can rest because our God, we just said it, knows all and he has a plan. If we keep reading here, it says in verse 5 through 7, it says, how great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep. He says in verse 6, he kind of gets a little cheeky here. He says, the stupid man, the fool, the brute, they cannot know. The fool cannot understand this. What is it they can't understand? That though the wicked sprout like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. He says, the stupid man, the brute, the one who is simple, the one who lacks understanding, the fool, the one who constantly makes decisions contrary to what is wise and what is in step with God, they don't realize this truth. And here's the truth that they don't realize, that their day is short-lived. That the day of the wicked is like grass. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow, right? It's spring. We're all getting into that season where if hopefully you're mowing your lawn by now. If not, your lawn's probably getting pretty tall, right? And for the next 8 to 10 weeks, what do? It's like every week we mow our lawns because if we don't mow our lawns, the grass gets really high. You have neighbors who complain. You have, in this case, Bethany, she would get on to me for not getting the grass mowed, right? But we all know what's coming, right? What's coming? Fall's coming. And what happens? It all dies. It all becomes yellow. It all becomes brown. We praise God. We don't have to mow the lawn, and we get ready for the next season, right? He says, and here, he says, this is the thing that the fool can't understand, that the brute can't understand. He can't understand this reality that they may see life today. They may see progress today. They may see all their works coming to fruition today, but what they don't realize is tomorrow it's gone. He says, and so what do? They continue to live lives contrary to God. They continue to live lives rejecting God because they're like, hey, it's all great right now. Like, hey, my life's good right now. Hey, I have everything I need right now. Hey, I'm self-sufficient. Hey, I've got it all together right now. And what they don't realize is that it's gone in the blink of an eye. He says, they don't realize that. But he tells us there's something different we need to recognize. He says, in the midst of this, God has a plan. He knows it all. He's working through it. And here's what he tells us. He tells us this. They are alive today. They don't recognize that their day is coming to an end. But he tells us this in verse 8. And this is important for us to see. And this is the truth we need to recognize. Our God is on high forever. He says, you want a reason to rest? You want a reason to stop from your laboring one day of the week? The wicked, they don't get it because they see all the profit. They continue after it. But you want a reason. You want a reason to rest? It's this reason, because our God is on high forever. Look at verse 8. He says this. He says, but you, O Lord, are on high forever. Right here, this is situated right in the middle of the psalm. This is actually the main point of this psalm. You'll notice in your Bible, it's probably got Lord in all caps. That's because in the Hebrew Bible, where it says Lord, it's talking about Yahweh, the personal name of the God of Israel. He says, hey, there's all these other gods we might worship, all these other things we might pursue, but you, O Lord, you, Yahweh, you, God of Israel, you're on high forever. He says, and you have a plan. The wicked, they don't recognize it. They think they're on top of the world, but their day of demise is coming. But you, O Lord, you are on high forever. And that brings us to the fifth reason why we can rest in God, and it's this truth, because the day of the wicked is short. He says in verse 9, he says, for behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. The day of the wicked is short-lived, and it is ultimately cut short by God, who will judge righteously, and he will punish. But he doesn't stop there. Because he says, hey, you want a reason why you can rest, why you can trust God, why you can Sabbath, why you can enjoy and worship. He says this. Here's the sixth reason. He says, because of the victories that we have in the present. He says this in verse 10 through 11. Look, it says this. So he says, God, you are on high forever. Behold, your enemies, they will perish. They will be scattered. But listen to this in verse 10. He says, but you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. He says, you have poured over me fresh oil. He says, my eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. Unlike the wicked who will perish, the God who is on high has also exalted his servants. He compares us to the wild ox here. The wild ox represents strength and power. The Lord, he has strengthened his servant. Anointing with oil is used for refreshment, and it was used to set apart someone as the Lord's. And tells us this, the Lord has strengthened, he has refreshed, and he has set apart his servant. If you are in him, you are strengthened by him. You are set apart by him. You are refreshed by him. It says this, and the Lord has given him victory over his enemies. And he's even seen these victories in the present. Though the wicked seem to flourish today, though the evilness of the world, though the fallenness of sin and all that it brings, even though sin seems to run rampant in our world, even though we feel daily the brokenness of living in a sinful, broken world that can cripple us, he says we still today even can experience victory because of God. And he says this, and it doesn't stop there. He says, you want a rest? You want a reason why you can trust God? You want a reason why you can worship God? He says this, because we have a future of eternal life in his presence. Keep reading with me. It says in verse 12 through 14, it says, the righteous, says, they flourish like the palm tree. It says, and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. It says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. It says they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Unlike grass, we're compared to these trees. Not just any trees, the cedars of Lebanon, right? Some of the most life-giving, the greatest trees that they could think of in their time. And he says that is the reality for us. He says, unlike the wicked who are like grass, the righteous flourish like a tree ever growing. And notice this progression we see in this text. The wicked person, their day is short-lived. The Lord's day, his glory, it's forever. And notice this, he says, and the righteous, they have the promise that they will flourish forever as well because of the Lord. They flourish. Why? Because they are planted in the presence of God. They are sustained by God. You want a reason why today you can rest in the chaos of life happening around you? You want a reason why you can stop your work and not be overcome by the urgency to get done what needs to get done? You can stop and you can trust, because ultimately at the end of the day, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have an eternity secured with the God of the universe being sustained in his presence. He says, and so because of that, today, even though we live in a world that is broken, even though we live in a world that is rampant with wickedness, that is rampant with sin, we can rest because we have an eternal future. We have an eternal hope set in Jesus. And then listen to this. Here's the eighth reason that we can stop and we can rest. And it's this: because we can trust our God. Like, you want a reason to be able to worship God. You want a reason to be able to stop, to take a day out and say, let me set aside this day for the Lord to reset my focus. It's because you can trust our God. Look in verse 15. It says this. He says, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The psalmist recognizes and proclaims the truth that our God is just. And unlike man, our God is not wicked. And our God, he can be trusted. He is a firm foundation for us to place our trust in, for us to build our lives upon. We can say, hey, I'm going to stop what I'm doing, and rather than putting trust in myself, I'm going to take a time out of my day to recognize, God, I need you, and I'm placing my trust in you because you are a trustworthy God. He bookends it. He says in the beginning, you know why we can praise him? Because God is faithful. Because he's proven his loving kindness to us. Because he's shown his steadfast love to us. His unmoving love for us. His faithfulness in the darkest of times. And he says, he gets to the end. He says, hey, I'm going to declare that it is right to worship you, God. Why? Because you can be trusted. He says, because I have seen you show up time and time again, not just in my life, but in the life of your people. Not just in the life of your people, but all throughout history, we have seen you come and show up time and time again, God. And so we trust that we can trust you. And because of that, when you call us to stop and rest, we're going to stop and rest. Because I recognize I don't have the best plans. I don't have the control. I don't actually, contrary to what I oftentimes think and act like, I don't actually know what's happening with my tomorrow. But you do. And I'm going to trust you with it. And so I think we have to ask ourselves, in light of all of this, in light of all these reasons that this psalmist have given us for why we can stop and why we can praise God on the Sabbath, why we can set aside time and say, hey, we're going to declare these truths about you, God, what should we do? And I'd like to offer you just two considerations this morning. First consideration I'd ask you is this. I'd ask you to consider this with your life. Would you choose rest over running? I don't mean just overworking. Like we understand, like, we were created to work. He gives us 6 days of the week to work, and he says, take a seventh to rest. But when you are tempted to power through and the urgency to complete whatever it is before you, would you be willing to slow down and stop and rest in God? When you think, when you fall into the temptation or maybe the trap of saying, hey, you know what, if I will just, you know, keep... just grit my teeth. It's a whole bootstrap mentality, right? If I'll just bootstrap it up and make it through this next season, I'll be golden. Instead of doing that, would you recognize, hey, God, this is an overwhelming situation. I know there's much more work to be done, and I have done the best I can. I have worked the best I can, but ultimately, I'm going to trust you with the results. And instead of continuing to run after and chase all these different things that I think I need to do, these things I think I need to have, these things I think I need to accomplish, would you choose to rest in him instead? The second consideration I ask you is think about this. Would you choose worship over worry? When you feel the overwhelmingness of the loss of control and circumstances and worry starts to set in, remind yourself of the God who you serve, who is in control. And would you choose worship? See, one of the things the Sabbath does for us, when we choose to stop and rest, not just rest from work, but rest in God's provision, it's a chance for us to declare, God, ultimately, I don't have control. And you're in control. And God, ultimately, I can't decide, I can't change the outcome of my future. But you are in control, and I'm going to trust you with that. And when the worry sets in, would you choose to worship him instead? When you say, I don't know what's happening next, I can't see what's down the road, I don't understand what's happening, and the worry of your circumstances start to set in that can be crippling. And I know there's many in our congregation right now who are facing similar circumstances. But would you be willing to choose worship over that worry? To say, God, I'm going to trust you with it because I can trust you with it. And I know these can sound like platitudes or like something that should belong in a Mardell's wall art section. But here's the reality. We can choose rest over running. We can choose worship over worry, not because of something I tell you, but because of what God's word tells us. We can choose those things. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Why? Because of our God's unfailing love for us. Because our God is active. Because our God knows all and has a plan. Because the day of the wicked is short. Whatever evilness it is you are fighting right now, that day is numbered. We can stop. We can worship and rest in God. It's not easy, but it's worth it because our God is on high forever, and that's never going to change. Because of the victories he's given you, even in the present life you live right now, and because of our future eternal hope we have set in Jesus, we can stop and we can worship, we can rest in God because we have a God who is trustworthy. He doesn't go back on his words. The promises he gives us, they're true. Yesterday, today, and forever. He will not fail us. We can rest in God, church, because our only hope is in God. And as we wrap up this time this morning, we're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to have a time of response. And here's what I'd ask you to consider in your own lives today, church. What work or worry are you allowing to overrun, to define your life right now? We don't have an answer for why you are in the circumstances you're in, for why you're facing whatever it is you're facing, but we do have the promise of a God who is active in the midst of those circumstances. Would you trust him with whatever it is? Maybe you're here today and you are weighed down by trying to make it on your own, by trying to be self-sufficient, by trying to say, if I can just labor enough, if I can just work enough, I can make it and I can arrive. And maybe what you're realizing today is you need a relationship with Jesus. Maybe the reason you're so beat down, you're so tired, you don't know where to look is because right now you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Hebrews 4 tells us that we have eternal Sabbath rest in Jesus. And maybe today what you need to do is you need to claim that first promise that God gives us, that whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. And maybe you've been running, you've been working, you've been doing everything you can do to make it. And what you need to do is stop. Rest in who Jesus is. You need to stop and you need to say, God, I need you. God, would you save me? God, would you have lordship over my life so that I might walk and rest in you? And what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and after we pray, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. We're going to worship a God who is worthy of our worship. And my invitation for you is when we do that, if there's something you need to lay down, if there's something maybe you need to come and you just need to lay at this altar and pray to God and give it to him, would you do that? Maybe you need some encouragement right now. You're saying there's these things that are weighing me down so much, and I just need somebody to pray over me, to help me choose to stop running. And you do that today. Maybe today you would say, I need salvation. I need Jesus. Let's pray. God, we come to you today. And Lord, we give thanks to you. We come singing praises to your name, O Most High. Lord, we come declaring your steadfast love to us and your faithfulness in the darkest of seasons. Lord, we worship you with everything we have. Lord, we come rejoicing in you because you have made us glad by your work. And it's at the work of your hands that we sing for joy. Your works, they are so great, God. Your thoughts are deep. You have a plan. Lord, the stupid man, he cannot know, the fool cannot understand this. That though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But we come worshiping you today, God, recognizing that you are on high forever. That your enemies, O Lord, your enemies, they will perish. They will be scattered. And God, we come today proclaiming and claiming the fact that you have exalted our horn. That you have refreshed us with oil, that you have set us apart as your people. That we have seen the downfall of our enemies, sin and death, its very self, because of Jesus. And Lord, we come declaring and believing the truth that we will flourish in your presence forever. Like a palm tree, like the cedars of Lebanon, God, we will flourish in your house, in your courts, that even in old age we might bear fruit, that we may be full of life. We pray all these things, believing, declaring that you are upright, you are our rock, and there's no unrighteousness found in you. We can trust you. We can place our faith in you, our hope in you. And so I pray for your people today, God. Would we rest in you? Would we trust in you? In the name of your son Jesus, we pray all these things.